We have a question from our online viewer. It was asked in Russian, but location is unknown.
From an undisclosed location.
Undisclosed location, but fortunately we have a name, Damodar Prabhu. So Damodar Prabhu is giving his dandavas to Maharaj. And the question is, of all offenses of the holy name, Guru Aparadha is considered the most abominable. How is one supposed to live with that? How to root it out? Is there a chance to be forgiven and accepted by Vaishnavas again if to approach them with sincere remorse and penance? Thank you, Dandavats.
Once, Srila Guru Maharaj mentioned that we can conceive of Guru Sevi, Guru Bhogi, and Guru Tyagi. And here he's saying Guru Aparadhi. The goal is to become Guru Sevi. That Guru Bhogi is one who is enjoying the assets of Guru. Guru Tyagi, one who has rejected Guru. There may be some instances where that is called for, even. He talked of those three. I'll mention what this is about shortly, even. But interestingly, at this time, he said, but there is another class that is the worst. And he thought, oh, the Guru Aparadhi? He said, no. Those who have no necessity of Guru. He said, that is the worst position. No need, no necessity of Guru. He said, because in the others, in some example, the Guru Tyagi or Guru Bhogi, mentioned Aparad, that can be overcome. They have connection with Guru, assuming that Guru is substantial, which means the Guru themselves have a substantial, authentic, recognized connection with divinity, with Krishna. So it's possible. Why would that be mentioned? And the dasaparat, the 10 offenses, if it was something that never occurs, gurur avagya, meaning to ignore the order of guru, to dismiss the order of guru, or to disagree, to counter, and all the ways you could take it. If that's not something, in a sense, that's likely to happen at some point. We've heard Srila Gurudev mention so many times that when he first came to the Mat, Srila Guru Maharaj said, are you prepared to listen to me and not your own mind? Right. That's going to be important. And Gurudev said, no. I was young, so I said, yes. He said, but I didn't realize how difficult that could be in the law, you know, in the course of one's life. And Achyutananda Maharaj, he related when he came to the Mat, and Guru Maharaj said, he says, the Guru Maharaj said to him, and young man, you have to obey me, however whimsical or whimsical, you know, my order. Yes. He said, you'll be given one room. Yes. And in that room, there will be one chair, a bed, one chair. And Achyutananda said, I don't need a chair. You know, and Guru Maharaj said, that's not for you. That's in case a gentleman visitor comes. So you can offer them a chair. Like, oh. So, if these cautions or prohibitions are given, really they're cautionary, then we can understand, although it's undesirable, that they wouldn't be given if there wasn't some likelihood of this occurring. Otherwise, then you don't need a prohibition. If it's something that never happens in the life of an aspiring servitor, then that's not going to make the top 10 list. But since it's there, then we can understand in one sense, I'm saying in this context, that it may even be likely that some sort of opportunity like that may present itself to one. So here, what in the case of one feels that they have committed aparad, guru aparad, or Vaishnava aparad. And Chaitanya Bhagavat, we hear from Mahaprabhu, and elsewhere from Krishna. The whole theme, Krishna consciousness thematically, is about devotion. And devotion means devotee. Normally, Krishna is not the devotee. Okay. Normally. He's Krishna under the guidance of Radharani, Nanda Yashoda, Sri Damsudam, Lalita Bhishakha. Others are engaged in devotion to Krishna. But we hear from Krishna himself. And why I say normally, because as I said to me, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. The Guru Rup of Krishna is Mahaprabhu, Gauranga. And there, Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. To adopt that position, enveloped in the heart of Radharani. And what does that mean, heart? Your deep core consciousness. He's immersed in Radha Bhav, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. But that's Mahaprabhu. But from Krishna, no less than Krishna himself, he's extolling the glories, the virtues of his devotees and their devotion. And the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, where Durvasa Muni, great saint, appearing in all over the place in Vedic literature. He's in the Bhagavatam, he's in the Ramayana, and other places. He offended Ambarish Maharaj, who is a great devotee. And when he finally realized it, because sometimes we may not realize that, or it may take some time, it may occur to us, it may appear within the heart of the self-reflective, self-examining, atma-samiksha, aspiring servitor, that they've committed Vaishnava aparad or Guru aparad. When he, Durvasa, tries to escape the consequences of this offense, we see him running from the Sudarshan chakra of the Lord. Because he holds, remember, Vishnu has four, Shankha, Gada, Padma, Chakra. Kanchal, Shankh, and the Padma, lotus, very beautiful, auspicious. But the other two, club and the chakra. So the Sudarshan chakra takes care of these things. So he's running from the Sudarshan chakra, and And each step of the way is teaching us. Goes to Brahma, can't get shelter there. Goes to Shiva, can't get shelter. Goes to Vishnu. Funny thing, Vishnu means God, really, most often. Bhagawan Vishnu. And he's saying, this is something I cannot save you from. And he's saying, how is that possible? He's saying, understand the science of devotion, the laws of devotion. Only the devotee that you've offended can forgive you. That's the only thing that is acceptable to me. And perhaps Zen Chaitanya Bhagavat comparing the devotees to the lotus feet of the Lord and different things, why this is so offensive and unacceptable. Because Krishna, remember, and from another point of view, like once Guru Maharaj explained, aparad, like aparadha, is an interpretation. Apa means against, it's against her, ultimately, because we think, no, it's this local devotee or this other person or in this case. No, if someone has any devotion, it's all coming from her originally. So indirectly, it reflects upon her. Therefore, Krishna's beloved, his dearest, right, Achyuta Priya. Mukunda Prishta. That's intolerable to Krishna. In other words, indirectly insulting or offending Srimati Radharani and all her extensions. So only the devotee who's been offended can forgive that. And we see in the case, Sachi Mata, like a little while back, we celebrate the Vishwarup Mahotsav, Mahaprabhu's elder brother. That's like Gopal asked for a name for the son, they named him Vishwarup in this honor. And he took sannyas and that, you know, left home and went to the holy places, including South India. So, Sachi Mata, and this is all Leela, Jnana Shunya Bhakti, but she thought, it's that Advaita Charjan is Bhagavad Gita classes. He's giving these Bhagavad Gita classes, and Visrup, hearing him, he became detached from the world and family life and took sannyas and left, and we'll never see him again. So she was thinking, now all I have, and Jagannath Misra has passed away, her husband. Now all I have is Nimai. And he's going to those Advaita Charja classes. And so she's thinking, hearing from Advaita, then he'll want to take sannyas, and then I'll be left alone. So it's said in this pastime, that she was thinking offensively toward Advaita Acharya. But it's Mother Sachi. We're told, name I is one of her names. If you say this, even by accident, I, that all auspiciousness comes into your life just by a dim reflection, remote connection with her. She's so auspicious. And as Yashoda, Yasho means fame, Da, coming in connection with her, Yashoda, people become famous for their devotion to Krishna. But she's teaching even here. So Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, he considered she committed an offense to Advaita Acharya. And so when he's in the Mahaprakash, he's on the throne of Vishnu. This is before the full-blown Bhakta Bhav and Radha Bhav. So, like temporary insanity, he's on the the asan as divinity. In this, he's always the devotee. So it's for like 21 to 7 hours. I forget the exact number. You understand? For that period, he's acting like God. Because in these pastimes, he's a devotee. But during that, he's giving benedictions to everyone. Like Kolavecha Sridhar, who he was always stealing from the plantains. He makes plantain leaf cups. You still see in India, leaf cup plate, leaf cup. That means nothing in terms of income. But he's so poor, whatever money he gets from that, the sale of those things, which is next to nothing, half of it he spends on the worship of Mother Ganga. That type of devotee. And Nimai Pandit always coming to him saying like, how much are these the leaf plates and the leaf cup? And you go, oh, they're this much. Like, what? No, there's a guy selling them down by the banyan tree for half that. And you're like, then buy from him. No, I want to buy from you. So he's all, in essence, Nimai Pandit is always cheating him. Till he has to go, all right, here, take them. Half price. You know. And after the first Nagar Sankirtan, he's thirsty from all the singing and dancing, goes to Sridhar's basically hut, and there he has a water pot that's like broken. It's like so old, it's busted, it can't really hold the water properly. It's, you know, repulsive. That's where Mahaprabhu starts drinking that water like it's some kind of nectarine substance. And all the devotees are astonished. So when that Sridhar Mahaprabhu was saying, what would you, whatever you desire, I'm giving that. You can ask for Krishna Prem, this, anything. He's giving. And they're one by one approaching him. Kolavecha Sridhar says, my request is that that Brahmin, Nimai Pandit, that birth after birth after birth, he will come and cheat me as he did in this life. That's my request. That's a devotee. So when Mother Sachi comes, suddenly he's giving to everyone. Then his own mother comes and says, I'm sorry, Mother, but you have offended Advaita Acharya. I cannot. You must approach him. And how sweet. Mother Sachi goes, falls at the feet of Advaita Acharya, begging, it's because this Roop used to go to your class. You know, and then I'm thinking I'm going to lose Nimai. And she does. But still, she's falling at the feet of Advaita, begging forgiveness. And what is the position of Advaita Acharya? He resents Mahaprabhu's respectful treatment of him. In this world, if someone disrespects us, we're very upset. It could be anybody. We're very upset. Don't they know who I am? Advaita charges, like, day job is Mahavishnu. Sadashiva Mahavishnu. He's upset at being treated respectfully by Nimai Pandit. His Mahaprabhu, he is what is known as Guru Varga. Being elderly, senior, spiritually substantial, and everything. So Mahaprabhu considers him Guru. He came with Sita Thakurani when Nimai Pandit was born. the same Advaita Acharya, we're told, if he bowed to a shalagram, Shila, and it wasn't a real one, it shattered. Imagine he comes over to your house, you go, here's our family deity, and oh, man, you know, he bows down. Oh, well. I guess we didn't really carefully observe the markings. But Mahaprabhu is always, what really bothers him is not only is he being treated respectfully, he sees Mahaprabhu really being like brutal or cruel with others. Like Mukunda once telling him that, you know, you can't, he tells all his men, he can't see me anymore. He's not allowed in my association. I don't want to see his face. And Mukunda, you know, coming, and they are, Prabhu, I'm sorry, you can't go. Why? Mahaprabhu said he doesn't want to ever see your face again. It's finished with you. Really? Why? Forever? Ask him, for how long? And they go and they say, he accepts what he wants to know. For how long he cannot come? Mahaprabhu said, 10,000 lifetimes. And they go back and they say, Prabhu, we're very sad to tell you that he said 10,000 lifetimes. And he's going, Hare Krishna! He starts singing and dancing. Like, I'm counting, starting now. He thought, but then I will get. So 10,000 lifetimes? No problem. And when they go back, Mahaprabhu said, and what did he say? He became ecstatic and started singing and dancing. And when Mahaprabhu would say, bring him here, said, you're 10,000 or up. You just, what is that? Shata, the padma, the needle through 100 lotus petals in an instant. Because of that spirit, he didn't go off crying or whining. He was, it just awakened this anticipation in his heart that time, it's coming. He's so thrilled, so excited. The countdown has begun. Mahaprabhu said, then you're all right, you're already done. You're back. And other people. So Advaita Acharya is saying, and then he's always bowing to me. And like, that means he doesn't real that type of love he doesn't have for me. Always treating me respectfully. So what could I do to make him angry and come after me? So he starts giving classes on a book called The Yoga Vashishta, which, you know, which suffice to say is like the worst type of Mayavad. I mean, it's all bad. Right? Mayavadi Bhasha Shrinalehoi Sarvanash. But this is particularly irksome to Nimai Pandit. Mayavad, meaning saying, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. So he starts giving classes on that. Then Nimai Pandit comes and he's ready to beat him. All the reverence and is gone and he's just going to smash him now. And Advaita's thinking, at last, he does like me. He cares about me. As Gurudev said about Guru Maharaj, he said, if he's angry with you, you're okay. He said, but if he becomes indifferent, you're in big trouble. He said, but if he's angry at you, you're all right. And you can correct that. But if he's become indifferent to you, then be careful. Then you're in big trouble. So in this way, when we see the Vaishnavas, what do we say every day? Bancha kalpa trubhyascha kripa sindhu beva cha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. They're like kalpa toro, the wish fulfillment. You get everything at the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. And they personify Mahaprabhu's teachings. They're more tolerant than the tree. They're humbler than a blade of grass. They're always giving honor to others, not expecting anything. So if someone with a repentant heart approaches them, we find that the Vaishnavas, they'll say like, they didn't take any offense. Because the nature of the Vaishnavas is not to advertise their Vaishnavata. So to acknowledge you offended a Vaishnava would be to say, I'm a Vaishnava. They will never do that. Once someone wrote something vile against Srila Guru Maharaj, and after he heard it, he said, it is rather a glorification. What they intended, he said, it is rather a glorification. Is that all they could find wrong with me? Yeah. So, Krishna wants us to fall at the feet of his devotee and beg their forgiveness. Otherwise, if we try to find some excuse or some justification or spin, whatever it is, then koti kalpa. A kalpa is like 4,300,000 years. 400 million. Koti means 10 million times that. A long time. Whereas with the repentant heart and proper glorification of the Vaishnava, immediately reinstated. Sometimes I would say to Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, and say, Maharaj, I am offending you numerous times every day. Sometimes inadvertently, sometimes purposefully, please forgive. And he said, oh. But I wanted him to know, I'm not unaware that some of the things I'm doing or saying, it's insulting. And now I'm, getting a hint of that. Because I learned with Gurudev, sometimes he asks your opinion on things, and it took me a while to learn not to always offer it. Once he's saying, what do you think about such and such devotee doing something? I said, oh, I think he's a very good man. Oh, you think he's perfect? Like, no. Or the time, there was someone I thought was need to be quarantined, you could say. That they, whatever it is they had, could spread to babies and harm babies. But Avadhut Maharaj and Govinda, they're saying, no, he should be given. And Avadhut Maharaj will always say, he just needs association. Which is true. But association becomes meaningful with service. It's not just physical proximity, but also entering that zone of that type of consciousness or devotional consciousness. Anyway, I met with that person and I thought, I need to change my thinking to be in sync with Gurudev's thinking. So I thought, perhaps if I meet with this person, we're there, and so I changed my thoughts and was feeling very pleased with myself. Like, oh, you're such a good boy, see how you change. And I couldn't wait for Gurudev to come back to tell him how good I am. And then he comes and he says, and I go, Maharaj, you'll be happy to know about that one case. You know, I've changed my thinking about that. I now accept, you know, and going, he goes, I can never say that. And I'm going, no, but you were saying that before. You know, I will never say that. Always finding fault with the divine. And he started listing all the things. And actually banned that person from his mots. And then he said to me these words. And he said, my religion is finding fault with myself. And it was like a condensation of the Mahaprabhu sloka that he sat beneath, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororapi Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. You know, that was above his head. Kaviraj Goswami said, it's like a mala, like a garland. Wear it around your neck. This, in other words, always be in remembrance of that. Humbler than a blade of grass. When they say the grass springs back, don't even spring back. Trot it on and spring, don't spring. Right? More tolerant than a tree, Gurudev would say, tolerating what is intolerable. Because otherwise we can just say, you have a high tolerance level, by nature, maybe. Some people do. Right? Dude, you may know someone. But he said, tolerating what is otherwise intolerable. That's that level. And when it said, the amani na manadena, giving respect to others, he said, respecting those who may not even be worthy of respect, or maybe whom you don't consider worthy, respecting that person. And Guru Maharaj on that said, interesting, because sometimes they thought he's sitting up in his veranda and only comes down 3 times a year. What does he know about practical things and mots and like? And Guru Maharaj is always giving some practical advice that would astonish people. But here he said, amani na manadena, he said, give position to others, and then your position goes up. He said, but if you try to keep others down, you go down. Like Indra and Vishwamitra. You know that? Or Indra, Vishwamitra Muni. Because I tell the yoga people that the original yogis, Kriteya Dhyayatam Vishnu, Krita means Satya Yuga. It's 3 million years ago. That's when that was the recommended process. Because the verse says, what you got then in the next age through yajna and mantra, and the third age through temple worship, you get in the Kali Yuga, Harinam. But on the Dhyayatam Vishnu, Dhyan, Dhyay, Dhyan. The lifespan is 100,000 years, so there are recorded instances of yogis doing yoga for 10,000 years, 40,000 years, 60,000 years. Vishwamitra Muni is doing yoga for 60,000 years. And I pointed out, like, you know, you don't look that good when you, don't cut your fingernails, your hair, you know. Those yogis sometimes, like, they have, like, ant hills around them. You know? They're not in Lululemon leggings. So, Vishwamitra Muni is there, and Indra, like all politicians, he's worried about losing his position. And through the practice of yoga, he's accumulating more and more power. So Indra's thinking, like, you know, what if he, like, leaves the yoga line and then next thing you know, he wants to be the king of heaven? Indra means king, by the way. And on that note, just to know about Madhvacharya, tomorrow, but I have the opportunity to say something now. Guru Maharaj like to think. He says, when it has reins on it, you can steer it in this direction or that, but remove the reins, like the dog, and it goes wherever it wants. But he's saying, any word, the reins are local contacts, but the word, like it, if you release the reins, it runs to Krishna conception. And so he said, as an example, locally, I have a friend named Indra. I do. Or he said, my neighbor, his name is Indra. Right? So that's one meaning of Indra. Oh, you mean the guy who lives? Yeah, that Indra. Another meaning, oh, Indra, the king of heaven, that Indra. Oh, going from thing to the devata. Right? But then there's the ultimate king, like when Indra bows to Krishna and Govardhan Leela, which is rapidly approaching. Deve Varshati Yagya Viplaba Vrsha Barsha Sit Barshanila and then Pavan Shatmasana was convent Utpat Yeka Karena Shavalo Dilot Chalindram Data Bibram Ghostam Mahendram Haribi. No, but the Govindram. I forget the language. But he's saying Indra. And again, it's pastime because Anadir Adir Govinda. But here Indra said, You are Gava Indra. That Gava means the cows. Indra means you're the king of the cows, the lord of the cows. So you are Gava Indra. Sandhi, mix it together. Gava Indra becomes Govinda. Are you not? You are Govinda. So it's at that point. But he's saying, you're the Gava Indra, the Indra of the cow. So Indra from my neighbor to Indra the king of heaven to Indra in its ultimate, highest, most refined expression, Krishna. What is that name? Krishnendrani? That's even better. That's Radharani, right? Krishnendrani, like the Endrani, the queen of the... Anyway, so what was I saying before that?
Remove the reins.
Before I met Indra. Oh, so Indra, fearing for losing his power, his position, he summons one of his courtesans, Menaka, and sends her. See, it's like courtesan, heavenly dancing girl, you know, beyond supermodel, like I said, you know. She comes and he's there doing the yoga, you know. Supposed to be, keep your eyes half closed. Not fully closed, not half closed. Then you can see. And she comes and she has like Nupur little ankle bells and is very beautiful, elegant, delicate form. And he sees the ankle and the ankle and the sweet sound of the ankle bell. And then he looks up and fast forward, they have a baby. Who's Shakuntala. But so normally this you think like, oh, this is an example of fail. Right? 60,000 years down the drain. But it's given as an example of determination because after all this, What does Vishwamitra do? He goes back to the yoga. It's like, that's not going to stop me. But 60,000 years and I'll begin again. It's a noble cause. It's worth it. But why did I say this? Introduce this example? Go back. No, it's about I got onto the Dwapara Satya Yuga. Oh, giving position. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, and remember, this is Mahaprabhu's sloka, but Guru Maharaj is saying, this is the secret to being successful in the Krishna conscious movement. He said, by giving position to others, your position goes up. But if you try to take away position or keep others down to maintain your own position, the end result is you go down. Because right after that, it's what? Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Guru said, so if you want to go on with this Krishna consciousness movement, you have to learn to give position to others. So I said, oh, my religion is finding fault with myself. So that is the nature of Vaishnava culture. And Saraswati Thakur, he says also, a few things. One is, although I am honeycombed with defects, like the honeycomb, layer after layer after all the little, he says, I am honeycombed with defects. I take the task of finding fault with others. He said, I could have spent my time serving Vaishnava. Instead, I spent my time trying to find fault with them. And lastly, he said, when we are situated at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, we do not become aware of the faults of others, but only our own shortcomings. So, but still, Guru, Vaishnav, Radharani's delegation, then we must, it's at like where the thorn goes in, that's where you can't take it out from another place. If this is where the thorn went in, you've got to go to that spot and pull the thorn out. But Vaishnavas, Kalpaturu, Kripa Sindhu, Ocean of Mercy, fall at the feet of the Vaishnav, earnestly, heartfelt, beg forgiveness, reinstated. Just run the question by one more time to make sure I addressed.
A moment. How is one supposed to live with that? How to root it out? Is there a chance to be forgiven and accepted by Vaishnavas again if to approach them with sincere penance and remorse?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Any other question?
Yes, Maharaj. There is a question from Vraja Sundari Didi.
But just to finish, so Durvasa Muni had to approach Ambarish Maharaj after Sudarshan Sena, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, back to Ambarish Maharaj. And what is the verse? Aho Ananta Dasanam. He's saying, like, Ambarish Maharaj, nothing from him, nothing to forgive this. And then it's to bring this point and saying, look what the qualities of the devotees, what they are like. Although I offended him and cursed him in the worst way, he was only praying for my welfare. That's the position of the Vaishnava. And there in that section, then Krishna makes it known, he's saying, so these devotees who have given up everything for me, right, the world, their family, everything, they've given up everything for me. Really, they have. How could I ever abandon them? It's not possible. Yes.
So, question from Raja Sundari Didi. Hello, what can we do
Who's
to...
Who's where?
Okay. Not mentioned as well.
In the Akash.
In the Akash. Hello, what can we do to remember all the time
Hello?
That... Yes.
Hello.
This is the way she started her question. What can we do to remember all the time that nothing in our spiritual life is done by us, but by Lord's mercy? I understand this, but all the time is forgetting. Thank you. Please take my dandavats with great respect.
Hare Krishna. I might rephrase that a little bit, because it reminds me of something Mahayogi, you know, where this one devotee in L.A. a long time ago, like, would cook or something and say, like, they made halava for the Sunday feast. And some other devotee coming and go, like, hey, Prabhu, that was really nice halava. And he may go, I'm not the doer. You know? Like, whoa, right. So, not like that. But it means, because otherwise, it's almost indirectly to glorify yourself. Like, what, you're so great, all this divine power is descending through you for the benefit of, you know, the fallen mankind. is that God helps those that help themselves. Here's the point. We have to try, give all of our energy, whatever we have that we're bringing, you know, to the devotional table, so to speak, our accumulated energy in the form of, you know, strength, asset, mental skill, could be wealth, many things. Right? It's dealt with in the chapter preceding the yajna. Putnis, the wives of the Brahmins, when Krishna says, oh, Balaram, look at these trees, they're so happy to see you. Also Krishna, but he's saying, they're bowing, the trees are bending over, fruits are actually being offered, they're like ecstatic sap or like maple syrup is, you know, coming out of them. And then Krishna, because the next chapter is going to reveal something else. So Krishna, it's a setup, and Krishna's saying, so look how magnanimous they are, the trees. They live for the benefit of others. They don't eat the fruit. Like I was saying, a mango tree, you never see a mango tree eating a mango. Right? But they produce, and they give them mangoes, they give shade, they do so many things. So Krishna's saying, they live for the benefit of others. How magnanimous they are. That's true. And on the tolerant, more tolerant than a tree, they say, if you're sawing a tree down, God forbid, in the midday sun. The tree's giving you shade while you're sawing. It doesn't say, you're sawing me, no more shade. No, it's giving you shade, shelter, maybe even fruits. So, he says, what he's implying is like, people should be like that. The great saints, they're like that. They live for the benefit of others. And what is the question again? The tail end?
How not to forget.
Oh,
now
about doing. So we give our energy. What we've accumulated is our physical energy, mental energy, intellectual ability, sometimes accumulated wealth. These are mundane assets that we're trying to engage in service. If by the grace of Guru and Vaishnava we get that opportunity and we do that, then what good things may come from that? That, we say, is Krishna. Okay. Ultimately, yes, everything is Krishna, good or bad. Okay. Krishna is supplying the breath of air, life and breath of air for an atheist to denounce his existence. Okay. So, of course, everything is like that. But at the same time, this should never be interpreted in such a way as that we become complacent, or, as Guru Maharaj says, go on strike. Karmanya vadikaraste mapaleshu kadachana, saying like, what, the fruit of the labors given to Krishna, nothing for me? Then I'm not going to do anything. No taxation without representation. Supreme autocrat? No, I believe in democracy. What do I get? What's in it for me? What have you done for me lately? No, the devotees, they're giving without any ulterior motive, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavratam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. Krishnanushilana, which is generally rendered as what is favorable to the culture of Krishna consciousness. And I say this from about myself, and many of us thought, like, what Krishnanushilana, what is favorable, is like what we like doing for in Krishna consciousness. You understand? That we're saying, that's favorable, like what I like to do. No, it's called what. Like, there's a famous verse in the Bhagavatam, what is that? Martyo yada chakta samasta vichikirshito me tam tadam ritatvam. I forget exactly, but Gurudev said it very nicely in one phrase. He said, what is it? It's a big long verse. He said, what is it telling us? Give Krishna what he wants. That's his explanation. Give Krishna what he wants. Well, how am I supposed to know that? That's right. If, like, a girl heard, you should offer Krishna the best thing. A very new devotee. She had this, like, rock that was very dear to her. So she gave that to Prabhupada. He's going, why are you giving this? That's, like, my favorite thing. And we're told you should give the best thing, to Krishna. So that's sweet on one level, but then become a little more advanced. Realize, in the scripture, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayajati, and other things. There's indications there what you should give to Krishna, that he's saying. Not just that you think, I think this is nice, I'm giving that. Sometimes it's right, sometimes maybe not. But then we listen and we go higher, deeper, more precise under the influence of the higher Vaishnava. So we have, Shukta, Shakadi, Bhaji, Nalita, Kujmando. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, these are the things that you should offer. And Bhogarati san, Shukta, Shak, Adi, spinach, etc. Shukta means bitter, but it's also specific. Shakadi, bhaji, fried things. Nalita, vegetables. Dali, dalna, dugda, tumbi, dadi, mochakanta, banana flowers. Dal, dugda, meal preparations. It goes on and on. It's so beautiful. Then you think, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he may be an eyewitness to these luncheons. So if he says these are the things, I'll go with that. We're safe going with that. It's beyond what we can ascertain. So, what is it again?
Who is the doer?
Doer. Prakriti. So, whatever, even the mundane things we're told, Prakriti Stani Karshati. One of them, Prabhupada liked this verse. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani savasyaha ahankar vimunatma karta aham iti manyate. And the other one. Oh, that's another one. But think, what you're doing, it's actually the modes operating, the modes of nature. Like when we see, I think one of the more apt metaphors, I guess, is drug addiction. When someone is under the influence of drug addiction, they're doing all kinds of things that it's not really them. Not to excuse that, because they're a willing participant, they brought about this condition, but at a certain point, the drug is calling the shots and sending the person to do this or that, or their need to have this substance is dictating their behavior, is what I mean to say. But if that's on the negative side, on the positive side, then it has its merits. Someone, ashakti, becomes attached in Krishna consciousness, it starts influencing what you do in a good way. Right? I've mentioned something. There's only two choices, Mahamaya and Yogamaya. Maya, there's only one choice, it's Maya. But which kind? Mahamaya or Yogamaya? Be under the influence of Mahamaya or under the influence of Yogamaya? And inspiration, as the great literary critic Harold Bloom said, to be inspired is to be influenced. See, we like to think, you know, that we're like something like mushrooms just sprung out of nothing, right? But, and writers, particularly writers, artists, thinkers, you know, no one is like that. Everyone, if they're honest, will admit their thinking is influenced by others. It's not a bad thing. In fact, it can be a good thing. So he says, to be inspired is to be influenced. So tene brahma hrida. When Brahma, Krishna's influencing the heart of Brahma, he gets all this inspiration. So we can say that. When the sincere devotee is approaching some service, then Krishna, in their heart, mind, body, soul, consciousness, gives them some inspiration to do this way or that, and they do very nicely. Then the praise comes. Oh, Prabhu, you've done so nicely. What the Vaishnavas, they pass that on. Oh, by the grace of you, by the grace of the Vaishnavas, by the grace of Guru and Vaishnav, it may be possible. And that way they've deflected that which can also awaken the ego, ahankar, that I'm the doer. I did this. I'm so good. They're saying, no, by the grace of Guru, but to mean it, of course, in the beginning, we may just say that. Many people learn clever sayings of devotees. But to really feel that is another thing. But the Vaishnavas, they give some room. You know, they give us some time to develop. Because people learn to mimic statements. But to feel that, to really feel like that, that's devotion. And that's the goal, the target. But we won't go wrong, even at this point, by mimicking what the Vaishnava. We want to, even at the beginning, there's a certain level of imitation is acceptable, like in a musician or something. We ultimately condemn imitationism in the form of Sahajism. Don't confuse that. But it's like when you're learning an instrument, in the beginning, or singing. You imitate another singer. That's how you learn to sing, actually, by imitating others. And then once you can do that, then you, what happens? You find your voice. And that's a great day in the life of a singer. They find their voice. Like there's one woman who's a very good singer, and Suzanne's in there, they're talking, and they go, "What do you think about your voice?" She said, "I can't stand my voice." Like talking, she said, "I just can't stand it." They said, "Well, what about your singing voice?" She said, "My singing voice is awesome." She said, "But my regular talking voice is really, I've heard it, it's annoying, it's not nice, I'm awake, aware." She said, "But my singing voice is awesome." She can't even believe what's coming out. She'd been trained. So again, those devotees, then when the good things are coming out of them, even from their hearts, expressed to their mind, consciousness, intention, service, they're thinking, how wonderful is Guru and Vaishnav to allow this sort of thing, sentiment to come to me. They're still in remembrance of them. But they're not looking for mimickers, drones or clones. Right? They want to awaken. All devotion is unique. It's very interesting, and this I'll conclude with in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. He, for sadhana bhakti, he gives a step-by-step analysis in great detail, every inch of the way. But I always found it interesting when he goes to the raga bhakti section, spontaneous, natural devotion. He says, "I can't describe this in sequentially now." He said, "But what I will do is I'll just give you examples of raga bhaktas and how they have behaved in a particular circumstance, or and then you'll get the idea, because it's that free form. So the best thing for you to do is hear the pastime or hear what they expressed, and then you'll get something. But this can't just be spelled out like that." So that tells us it's all unique, and that's very hopeful. That means, as inconceivable as it may sound, even in the heart of a tiny finite soul, there's something Krishna sees that's valuable there when that heart expresses devotion. He's interested. Called it bhava bhakti is like the what was the seed and sprouted. Bhava bhakti is the flowering stage, when the flower opens and it has some aroma, and Krishna likes that aroma and is attracted to it. How wonderful is that? From the heart of a finite, the infinite is charmed, and then more charmed, more charmed. But that devotee will think, by the grace of Sri Guru only, Guru and Vaishnav, they engaged me in service, and if something wonderful came, it's by their grace that they used me to express that. They'll think like that. And that's healthy.